Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to join you again. We are in the midst of our Brainstorming the Backcourt series. And so I had mentioned that I would have some familiar guests on around the Grizzlies beat. And I'm very happy to welcome one of my favorites. Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian has been kind enough to join us again. Drew, how have you been, sir?
I've been good. I wish I was a little bit more busy because we don't have a ton of NBA news outside of the finals right now. But no, I'm good. This is going to be a weird off season. Everybody kind of knows that from both a fan's perspective to a beat writer's perspective, from podcasting to everything else. Like, it's going to be slow for a while, at least until we get into the draft and free agency stuff. But I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, and the risk that you run right now is, you know, obviously, you know, one of the reasons we love to talk with you is because, you know, of your perspectives, your original perspectives. And, you know, as a podcaster and someone who likes to write about the Grizzlies, it's hard not to get repetitive at times. There's plenty of content out there to cover, but, you know, it can have its limitations at times, for sure. But Drew, you know, we'll talk about the finals here in a moment. But, you know, we have been talking about the backcourt and, you know, really how the evolution of that, I think, is what could be the biggest storyline for the Grizzlies this offseason in terms of development both on and off the court. But I've talked with you before, and you continue. The last time we talked was around John Morant's Rookie of the Year win. You did a story about his Murray State stuff here recently, just about the honors that he had through Murray State. But you see John Morant's connection with Murray State. You see John Morant's support of the WNBA. On the court, we can get to in a moment, but off the court, I think one of the biggest things about our culture is the awareness that our star player has of so many things around him and knowing what to support. Does that amaze you at how young Ja is, his awareness of causes that are important to him and promoting them away from the NBA?
Yeah, it's really impressive to me. And honestly, what I think people don't everyone knows Ja Morant is a superstar, right? I don't even know if Grizzlies fans can even grasp the level of intensity there is with everything that he does. Like, you can see it online, I guess. And that sort of thing. But his impact on both the city and Murray State and even just the Grizzlies, like all of it, when you combine all of that together, to me, that's what is so impressive, because we have seen him, we've seen him mentor local players here, from Kennedy Chandler, who's headed to UT and was the number one point guard in the class. He's, you know, got other connections inside the city with other local players that he sort of has helped along. He fits right in the Memphis basketball scene, and we all know that it's connected from the high school to the professional level. And so for him to get in here and connect with everybody so fast was awesome. And with Murray State, I just did a story last week about a former Murray State player, Marcus Brown, who's the all-time leading scorer in the EuroLeague by any American player ever. And he played at Murray State. He has his number retired next to Ja Morant at Murray State. And he just happens to be from and coach at West Memphis. So he's been in touch with Ja, and Ja's given advice to his players as well. So he's done an amazing job getting out in the community. That's first and foremost. He does an amazing job of supporting the WNBA. He is a Las Vegas Aces fan, as we can tell from online, because of Asia Wilson is also from South Carolina, and he's a big supporter of her. And that's really impressive, I think. It's a noble thing to do. And on top of all that, he's making these donations to Murray State. I wrote about the recovery room that he partnered up with Hyper Ice to sort of get the design for, and then donated that to the school. And another thing that I don't know if everybody noticed, when they released the top 15 jerseys, like jersey sales from the bubble, and Ja Morant was number 15, that was impressive. But they also put a note in there that he had gained between Twitter and Instagram like 363,000 and change followers on those two platforms. I should have a story coming out soon. I kind of dug in to see how these social media, which matters now, clearly, because that's how you get in front of people in today's day and age. Just to see the growth of the Grizzlies and the growth of Ja Morant, it's incredible. Like, the guy is gaining, he has 3 million Instagram followers already. He's gaining over 4,000 followers a day on Twitter, more than that on Instagram. And the Grizzlies' main account, is gaining more followers than almost than every other small market team, period, besides the Bucks, and that's because they have Giannis. But also, several of the big market teams, they're gaining more followers per day than the New York Knicks and then the Chicago Bulls and a lot of these different teams that are in much, much bigger markets. And when you put all of that together, that sort of stuff matters. So Ja Morant has an impact off the court that I think, you know, people don't even realize because it's sort of hard to put it all together at once. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And that's the other thing about it is, you know, it's not only putting it together at once to just figure out the magnitude of his growing brand, but just in realizing that not only has Memphis not had this, but just how important it is for the Grizzlies. And that will lead me to my other question that I'll ask. We won't get into specifics here. I'm not really asking, you know, for there to be a direct answer right now, but as a result of this growing brand, Drew, you know, I do feel like that, you know, we're all, you know, in this brainstorming the backcourt series and just in general, you know, we're all thinking about the next big move or, you know, what could happen. Not really going to get into when it will happen, but the likelihood of a significant move happening that really would put the Grizzlies over the top in the near future, the chances of that happening and being successful are so much more likely now with Morant than it would be without him. Wouldn't you agree? That's the byproduct of all this. It's not like the Grizzlies are going to go to Morant and, you know, I don't know if they're going to go to the extent of, like, you know, including him on making team decisions. I'm not saying that. But there's a draw with Morant to Memphis now, and that is a really wonderful thing that is needed in the NBA for you to have a sustainable winner in a small market. To me, that's another big byproduct of all this.
Yeah, that's clearly a big piece of the puzzle here. And, you know, before, if you were to say, what's the likelihood that the Grizzlies, you know, they acquire these assets and then they go make a big move to add another big piece to the backcourt, like you've talked about, you would not say like 100%, because if you're going to go add a big piece, you're adding that piece to try and make a run to the finals, right? You're adding that piece to try and have them mesh with players that are already there that are capable of getting you to that level. You're not doing that and being content with making it to the first round and getting bounced every year. That's just, that would be, you know, in poor taste to do something like that. So now, like, when I look at the future of the Grizzlies and I wonder, like, okay, are they, the timing is still sort of up in the air, and who it might potentially be is still up in the air. There are plenty of names that Grizzlies fans like to throw out there, but the likelihood of that actually happening, I think it's close to 100%. I really do, because they have all these draft assets that they can use now. They've got their books are clean. Finally, they're conveying the pick this year, and they've got talent that they're going to believe can take them to that next step. And all of that, you can't be missing one piece of that. If you're missing one piece, it's not a possibility. But now when I look at the situation, yeah, I think eventually it's going to happen. Whether that's next year, whether that's the year after, we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I think it's 100% that that's the case. And you don't do that without Ja Morant.
And the other thing that I'll ask is, you know, talking about, you know, the potential of adding additions to the Grizzlies, the other thing about it is I think that there also is big consideration for Memphis in terms of their culture is, you know, maintaining continuity. You know, I think that one thing that I read a couple of places, you know, last year was that Ja, when he was drafted, he reached out to Jonas, for instance, and talked with him about staying with Memphis. Obviously, Ja loves having Dylan Brooks. That's why the commitment was made to him. But the thing I'm getting at is that the other part of building that culture is that when it comes to the players that the Grizzlies have in place right now, you could see there being improvements made, maybe roles changing and things like that. But I think one thing that may not have as much attention put on it is there is a strong bond between Ja and his backcourt mates. And the Grizzlies really put a lot of value in that. Would you not agree?
Right. Yeah, no, I think so, for sure. Although there were frustrations, right, especially in the bubble with some of the members of the backcourt, because it felt like either Dylan Brooks played awesome or he didn't. And I think that he's probably the biggest question mark, wouldn't you say? I mean, the only other one, the only other question mark this offseason is D'Anthony Melton, and what are they going to do? That's really going to depend on, because he's a restricted free agent, like, that's going to depend on what other teams decide to do, and the Grizzlies will eventually make a decision based on that. Who knows what's going to happen? But in terms of continuity, yeah, I think that really matters. Ja values that, and especially in the backcourt, that's why you sign guys like Dylan Brooks to a deal. Now, the question becomes, is that a good deal or not? It's going to depend on how Dylan plays. I'm like everybody else. I'm not completely sold that that's the guy in that spot or in that role. But we'll just have to wait and see. And clearly Ja has a lot of confidence in Dylan. So I think that matters a lot more than, you know, you and I with our own personal opinions.
Agreed completely. Agreed 100% there. We're going to take our first break with Drew. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the current backcourt with the Grizzlies and also, you know, how this offseason could potentially materialize with their evolution. We all want to add benefits to our day that, you know, can impact our health, whether it's exercising, maybe it's a walk, taking the stairs, whatever it may be, just small things that we could do to benefit our health that we can be consistent with going forward. Well, one thing I feel that I can offer is certainly a product called Built Bar. Built Bar, we've talked about it before. You know that we definitely enjoy the taste that we've had of Built Bar here at Locked On, and we cannot promote it enough. It's just a great addition to your day. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, whether it's breakfast, a snack before or after a workout. Maybe you enjoy it in the afternoon while you're listening to your favorite podcast network show on break. It's a great addition that doesn't take away from you when it comes to taste, but certainly adds the health benefits you're looking for. And if you go to BuiltBar.com, you can find a wide assortment of flavors. I love the peanut butter myself, but there are several different flavors you can choose from, and there certainly is likely to be one that meets your preferences. If you go to BuiltBar.com also right now, you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order while supplies last. Again, if you go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order while supplies last. But I can tell you this, when you add BuiltBar to your daily routine, I feel confident that you will want it to stay a part of it for the foreseeable future. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On for $10 off your next order from Built Bar. So welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm here with Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. So Drew, I'll just ask you in general, you know, we know Tyus has his role as the backup point guard, and we know that, you know, Ja obviously is, you know, is the alpha. He's the, you know, main star of this team. We saw the emergence of Grayson Allen, but at the end of the day, when it comes to the Grizzlies backcourt, D'Anthony Melton and Dylan Brooks really stand out as, you know, not necessarily question marks, but, you know, the areas where you want to kind of see more stuff, you know, answered about them, I guess. Both of them had impressive steps forward at times when the regular season was going on. But in the bubble, there was a bit of disappointment, obviously with Melton not being as effective as he could be and with Dylan shooting. When you look at that, when you look at how they performed in the bubble, I've asked you before about how much importance you place on the bubble versus the regular season, but do you kind of take away from that, you know, these guys do have their struggles, and, you know, I really would like to see them maybe play another year together to try to figure it out. Do you think the Grizzlies put a lot of emphasis on another year of seeing them play together before they make a major decision in terms of what they do with Dylan and in their potential signing of D'Anthony Melton?
Yes, I guess it's hard to tell. I think that matters. And I'm not putting, like I said before, all of my stock into the bubble, just because it's a unique situation. But, for me, if I'm looking at the situation, again, I'm not completely sold on Dylan, but you know, he still has the potential to turn things around. He's been super streaky, right? He's been awesome at times, and At times he's struggled, and I think even he would tell you that. And so if he can find a way to get to be a little bit more consistent, that'd be great, but you're not going to know what he is unless you give him another, you know, obviously they are going to give Dylan another year because he signed a new deal, but you're not really going to know exactly, you're not going to have a set opinion about him without having a chance to watch him play a little bit more. And then with DeAnthony, it's just going to be interesting this offseason because, you don't know. Like, if a team comes in and offers him a $50 million deal over a bunch of years, that's going to be really hard for the Grizzlies to match. And I would not be surprised if somebody comes in with a pretty high number on DeAnthony Melton, even after his struggles in the bubble, simply because he's a great all-around player. He's Mr. Do-Something, right? So, and you can use him on virtually every team. He can find a way to fit in. So I would not be surprised if somebody comes in with a higher number on him. And it's going to be tough to match that. It would be great to get another year and see another year of DeAnthony Melton and see where he can go. But if the number's too high, and 50 is definitely too high, in my opinion, then you just move on. You just move on.
And Drew, you know, you've been in these conversations, you know, not you know, the terms of the conversations on decisions being made, but in these press conferences and things such as that, and through your interaction with Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman, you know, it's been understood what they value, and when they look to add young pieces, they want people that work hard, that have high IQ, that can contribute in a lot of different ways, a diversity of skill sets. But at the end of the day, just from Taylor Jenkins, you know, his philosophy during the game, some of the things that he's said, does it feel like that shooting, though, at the end of the day is, you know, we obviously know that's a big need for the Grizzlies, but it also seems to be a preference of Taylor Jenkins. We saw some improvement from players like Grayson Allen and Tyus Jones this year. I think that's one of the reasons why the Grizzlies targeted them as additions. But when it comes to future decisions with DeAnthony Melton or potential additions, is shooting the overriding factor in terms of on-the-court production, or is there just a lot of other factors that go into it? Basically, I'm saying at this point, how high of a priority is adding shooting when it comes to decisions with DeAnthony or potential additions elsewhere?
Oh, I think it's a huge priority, but I would also sort of curtail that a little bit and say that it's a priority for literally every single NBA team, because that's just the way the league is moving right now. So if you are going to pay for shooters, you're just going to have to overpay. And that's kind of the way that the direction is going. I do. I think it's really important. And if the Grizzlies had better three-point shooting, they probably are in the first round of the playoffs. And they just they couldn't make shots in the bubble. And so, I think that will be a big priority. And I think you're more likely to see them try and fix that in free agency. I don't know if you're going to be able to get an excellent shooter who's going to be pro-ready in the draft. I think that shooting is definitely going to be a huge priority and probably the number one priority going into this offseason, because we saw, especially when Jaren went out, they really didn't have anybody to go to that could get them a bucket from the outside. So, unfortunately, you would hope that can turn into players like Ja. And if he can improve his three-point shot, that makes the team a whole lot better, right? I expect that they'll probably try and address that in free agency in some way.
And you also have given a bit of a hint. Now, the you've talked about the Grizzlies, they're starting to interview draft profiles, and one of the recent or they've started doing their interviews for potential people that they could draft in this year's upcoming draft. You did a story on one of their targets that they had talked with already, and it was, again, someone who, just from reading, you know, kind of preliminary things about him, you know, shooting is something that was, you know, a preference for this player. But in the draft itself, whether it be the backcourt or even the frontcourt, you know, we've seen the Miami Heat have some success, even with Bam out, with Myers Leonard and Kelly Olynyk. You know, we know that we have Jaren, who is a, you know, unique, very good shooter for his size and as young as he is, but adding more shooting even to the front court, that may be something that they focus on as a developmental addition through the draft. Do you get that sense that, you know, a source that could develop into a good shooter no matter where they are on the roster, that could be a focus of the draft?
Yeah, I think so. There's a number of different ways that they could go, and I don't want to jump the gun and say that they're going to do one thing or the other, because I don't think anybody really knows. But I wouldn't be surprised. I know a lot of people say, well, they probably should try and get a third point guard or another guy who can shoot, like, you know, Isaiah Joe is a popular name that people like to throw out there from Arkansas a lot. And if they decide to go that direction, I think that that makes perfect sense. Again, when you're picking number 40, you're not necessarily banking on the fact that this guy is going to join your team and contribute like right away. A lot of times players drafted in that range spend time in the G League. And for that reason, like, that's why I'm a little hesitant to say that that's what they're going to do for sure. It makes a lot of sense, right? They don't really need a big this year, but you've got Gorgui Dieng, who's going to be a free agent following the end of next season, who's going to have a lot of money off of the books, which is another important development. But you're going to need a big eventually. So, and like I wrote about Omer Yurtseven from Georgetown, who's signed under the same agency as Ja Morant. So that's really kind of how those connections are, you know, get back to the Grizzlies. But, you know, he's been a pretty solid shooter from the outside, and he's a center. And I think shooting is a priority for any player, whether you're a big man. I don't think the Grizzlies are going to take a big man that can't shoot. Like, that doesn't make any sense in today's NBA. But I wouldn't say they're definitely going to go after a position that they need or the hole that everybody thinks that they should address, which is getting another point guard or getting another player on the wing who can shoot well. I'm not totally convinced that that's the direction that they're going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a big man and they let him just sit in the G League for most of the year next year. That would not shock me at all.
We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Drew a little bit more about the organization and the city of Memphis in general. You know, basketball is, with the Grizzlies is over, you know, Tigers may be starting up here in a bit, but just going to talk about, you know, the organization and the impact that can clearly be seen even without basketball going on. A less than ideal aspect of life that many men face, many more than might like to admit, is erectile dysfunction. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually you just brush it off or blame something else, some other aspect of your life that's causing the issue. You say things like, I lost my mojo, or basically you just want to avoid it altogether, such as, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it. The thing about it is that it's something that exists and something that you have to face. And while a lot of us may not want to face it, there are ways for you to be able to cope with it. And one of the ways is with Roman. It is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe your medication, it is simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Again, getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. If you go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today, you could, if approved, get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. Again, that's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA in order to, if approved, get $15 off your first order of ED treatment through Roman. So, Drew, we've just entered into October, and right now, as I had mentioned with a few other guests, normally, in any normal year, you know, we're sitting here one game away from the NBA season being over. this is typically the time of the year where we're all excited because the NBA season is getting going. Well, unfortunately, not only are we about to enter an offseason where there's, you know, nobody really knows what to expect due to the ramifications of COVID-19, but it also is likely going to be an extended one as the NBA does all that it can to get stuff started back when fans can be back in the stands. But with that being said, you know, Grizzlies basketball has been over, you know, now for nearly a month and a half. Tigers basketball is still about a month and a half away, but just simply asking, how much do you miss Grizzlies basketball?
I miss it a lot. I miss it a lot. Well, you know what? There's times when I miss it a lot. I've actually spent a lot of this off season. This is, you know, I'm not trying to hype myself up or anything, but I was like, I don't know what to do with my life once I got back from the bubble and the Grizzly season ended. So I've been like getting in shape, and I've been working out a bunch during the week, and I'm on a diet that I've been sticking to. And, I've had a little bit more social time to hang out with, you know, some of my friends, although it's mid-pandemic, that's a little bit more challenging to do. So, you know, there are times when I really miss it, like in the middle of the day during the week, I miss it because it's like, okay, now what the heck am I going to write about? Because we don't have much, you know, day-to-day Grizzlies news going on. And then there are other times like on the weekends, you know, when I look up at my schedule on Friday and I'm like, wow, I got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off. That's pretty nice. So during the week, I miss it. On the weekends, I don't miss it quite as much.
But and the thing that I've admired about your work is, like, for instance, the story about the former Murray State racer that coaches at West Memphis now is you kind of have, you know, gotten a connection with the vibes around the city. And you know, it let's just be honest. It probably comes down to two names, Penny Hardaway and Ja Morant. But how, during a time without basketball, and unfortunately, you know, just for everything, obviously, COVID could not have come at a more inopportune time, but, you know, that's out of anybody's control. But now that we don't have basketball, do you get the vibe, though, that you really see the impact of it? Like, there's just so much still anticipation and excitement. It's still so relevant via social media, you know, just talking with folks. The relevance of the Grizzlies and the Tigers is right now awesome, even though both teams are still building back up to wanting to be, you know, prominent, you know, members of the NCAA and the NBA. But the relevance of both organizations and the excitement that they provide, it's so awesome, even when they're not playing. Do you get that feeling as well?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the story of the summer into the fall here, is that both the Grizzlies and the Tigers, and a lot of people like to pit them against each other in certain situations, which I don't like or really agree with. The Tigers are on a good recruiting run right now. They just got two new recruits last week, and the Grizzlies, all of a sudden, like after the first year of Ja Morant, have all this hope, and they're a really fun team, young team that's active on social media and out in front of people. And yeah, I think the city has sort of been buzzing with all this basketball talk, even in the middle of an off season, which I guess with college, we know when it's going to restart, but with the NBA, we're not even sure when the next season is going to come around. So yeah, that's awesome. The one thing that is a bummer, the one thing that slightly takes away from that, is that AAU basketball is so big in Memphis, and it's so important. We have so many, you know, just big time recruits and prospects that come out of this city or play in this city, that missing that this summer really was a crusher. And also when you're out on the beat, right, and you're talking, especially when I was covering the Tigers, not so much with the Grizzlies anymore, but I still like to stay out in the basketball community in Memphis. I just feel really bad for some of these high school players that this was their summer to sort of show what they can do and earn a college scholarship and move on to the next thing, because there are so many players, guys like Ja Morant, who get noticed out of nowhere, right? Or who have a big summer and they blow up and become a big-time recruit and end up at Memphis or elsewhere. They're not getting their opportunity. So that is the one thing that's kind of crushing, and, you know, especially when you know some of the coaches and the kids and how disappointed they are. But outside of that, it's awesome to just have the Tigers be great and well, doing great on the recruiting front, and then have the Grizzlies with these two young stars and as well as some other key pieces that really look like they're going to be a playoff team in the coming years.
And the other thing, I recently had on Brandon Abraham, who for Grizzly Bear Blues, he does work with the Hustle covering them. But I also am really liking how the Grizzlies are positioning the Hustle. You know, the Hustle, you know, through Josh Jackson and some other players that they've gotten over the past couple of years, the Hustle were a fun team to watch. They had, you know, a couple of noticeable names on there. But I really think another connection between the Tigers and the Grizzlies is that the Hustle could be an avenue for potential Memphis Tigers who may not make it, you know, in terms of their first try to get into the NBA. But the Hustle could really be a great opportunity for those Tigers or local talents, kind of like Shaq Buchanan from Murray State. They could, it's a transition to where they can go from playing in college to the G League. And then they could have their chance, but still be in the market where they're noticed. And that not only helps the Grizzlies organization in the Hustle, but also the continuation of just figures to cheer for a city that just thirsts for as much basketball as possible. I really like how the Grizzlies are positioning that and think that that's a connection between the Tigers and the Grizzlies as well for the future, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. And they actually do. Rainier Thornton, who just recently graduated from Memphis, I believe 2 years ago, it was Penny's first year, was on the Hustle, and has been playing for the Hustle. And he has a fantastic, the nicest guy in the world, Rainier. And he also has just a fantastic backstory. He had some hardship growing up and then goes to junior college, does it the hard way, ends up at Memphis, and then now gets his chance to play basketball and make a living playing basketball in the G League. I think that's all really, really cool stuff. And, yeah, the Hustle are – they appear to be a first-class G League type of team right now, and hopefully they can keep it that way. And the Hustle games are pretty fun to go to. I think that's kind of a hidden gem in the city is those games down in South Haven – I know it's still basketball and it's really high level basketball, and the atmosphere is almost so unlike a Grizzlies game that it feels so personal. Like you're just up front and center right next to the players. You can hear what they're saying. Like that's an underrated experience. I think in this city is those Hustle games.
And that's one thing that I think that Memphis fans can or basketball fans in general in Memphis can kind of relate to is that, you know, I'm not saying obviously the quality of the play is not on the same level, but it's almost like going to like a big high school game a lot of times. And there is a certain there's stuff to cherish about that genuine atmosphere. I mean, you know, Drew, I don't know about your backstory as far as I know that you're from Kentucky and, you know, you did your studies in Alabama, but, you know, a lot of times those AAU or amateur type setups for basketball games, the personal ability, the ability to be there in the action, how close you are, it just adds so much to it. And I agree. I've been to a G League game. It's a lot of fun. Even if it's outside of basketball, it's just fun being there.
Yeah, honestly, and we all know how awesome the high school hoops are in Memphis. And again, like I think it's really underrated simply because it is very hard to get something that's that up close and personal and like genuine when you're there. I can recall I went to watch Jeremiah Martin play when the Skyforce, the Heat's G League team, played against Memphis, and I went and watched Jeremiah play, and he had an awesome G League season and ended up, you know, becoming a two-way player for the Nets. But when I watched him play after the game, the players came back out onto the floor and the fans were just hanging out with the G League players, standing around talking to them. Tigers fans were taking pictures with Jeremiah Martin, and you could never, ever have that happen at a true NBA game. And so I thought that was really cool. Yeah, those Hustle games are fun. And if you want a personal experience or if you went to one college and was a fan of a specific player, like, a lot of times those guys just end up hanging out on the court after the game. You can just walk up and talk to them. It's a pretty cool little arena too.
And that's the great thing about it is, you know, there was a time when Memphis was viewed, I think it was through ESPN, the magazine, their organizational rankings in sports, they were viewed as being, you know, one of the most respected and admired organizations because of the connection between the city and the Grizzlies. Well, now you've got the upswing of the Tigers and the Grizzlies. I think it's awesome. There's just so much potential on so many different levels for the city to connect with their sports teams in a sport that we know this city loves. Drew, obviously, like you said, you know, you probably have a lot of ideas and times in front of you right now, but there's not a lot of material coming through the Grizzlies as far as stuff goes. But what projects do you have coming up? The holidays right around the corner. Any big things coming up on your end? And where can people find your work?
You can find my work at the Daily Memphian, dailymemphian.com. Also, I'm online on Twitter at DrewHill_DM. Honestly, I'm like kind of working through some things right now. I'm going to start digging into some free agency stuff soon. I know that the Grizzlies don't look like they're going to have a huge draft, but you never know. They have assets. They could always move up and take somebody. So I'll hopefully explore some of that. And the main thing, if you haven't signed up for the Daily Memphian's Grizzlies newsletter called Grizz Insider, you should definitely go do that, because that kind of gives me a chance to just be a little bit more fun and talk about whatever the heck I want to talk about. Like, I'll get on there and talk about the NBA. I talked about when Jaren turned 21 and he was tweeting that he was still alive after his 21st birthday celebration. I did a whole thing, you know, relating to when I turned 21 and had my 21st birthday. And, you know, it kind of gives me a chance to be a little bit more goofy, and there a lot of times are a little bit shorter, but it's the best place you can find all the Grizzlies stuff that I write at once, and also get a little bit more of a lighthearted touch on the Grizzlies beat. So definitely go check out the Grizz Insider newsletter.
All right, now I got to ask you one last question, Drew. So the Heat are now down 3-1, despite two much closely competitive games over the past couple of games. And Jimmy Butler's playing well. What percentage chance do you give it that we see another 3-1 series end up in the underdog's favor by the end of it?
0%. I would say about 0%. And I've said this on the radio. Like, I'm not a huge LeBron fan. I know there are a lot out there. It's his teammates right now. Like, he's been great, and we judge LeBron on different standards than we do other players, obviously. But, I mean, Anthony Davis has been awesome. LeBron missed several shots in the fourth quarter and got bailed out on offensive rebounds by Rondo. The Lakers are just deep. They just have a lot of really good players. And LeBron is always going to be awesome, of course. Like, there's no signs of him slowing down yet, and he's great. But the Lakers are going to win because they got more guys. They got more dudes who can get it done. And they've got playoff performers like Rondo. And KCP had a huge game in Game 4. So, yeah, the Lakers are just too deep and too good. I think that the series is over. But I did count out the Nuggets when they were – I said 0% chance for the Nuggets when they were down 3-1 to the Clippers. So I've been wrong on this before.
You know, we talked about shooting in the second segment earlier, and if you want to, you're exactly correct. You know, LeBron is the main guy. We talk about the Heat's depth. We talk about their quality shooting depth. But if you want to see the reason why the Lakers have been able to survive the upsets that other favorites have not been able to survive, go look at the shooting percentage differences between players in the regular season like Kuzma, Rondo, and even Anthony Davis versus their success on jump shooting now. It's been quite amazing. Drew, we can't thank you enough for joining us, and I hope that you have a great rest of your week. We ask that you just stick around for a second after the show. Folks, you can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and also you can find the podcast anywhere where it's available, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your iPhone. For Drew Hill, my name is Sean Coleman. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We'll talk to you soon.